Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is where I want to begin. Trust you keep your Bibles handy. We're going to be a lot of Scripture tonight. I told somebody before the service that it's kind of dangerous. I've only come up here with two sheets. That's usually when I preach the longest. But we'll see how it goes. But I do have a lot of Scripture involved in this to take a look at. Believe it or not, there's 8 points on two sheets. And I could say three sheets because my conclusion was on very short there on the third sheet, but it ain't much. I'll barely turn to it and we'll be done. Psalm 23, Shepherd's Psalm. Psalmist David writes here, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod, Thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5 is our text. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thou preparest a table before me." I want to talk tonight about a prepared table. Of course, we have before us tonight a prepared table to take the Lord's Supper, Lord's table with. We see from Scripture different things about a prepared table. I believe that a prepared table speaks of fellowship. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And we see here Melchizedek, who, as we have studied the book of Hebrews, we understand that Melchizedek is a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's both the king of Salem, which means king of peace, and he's the priest of the Most High God. He was only king priest that you'll find other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and that's why I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 18, it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem," note here, "brought forth bread and wine." You know what the elements of the Lord's table is? Bread and wine, fruit of the vine. He was priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek prepared a table of fellowship, a table of blessing there with Abraham. It's a time in Abraham's life, I believe, where he felt the closeness of the Lord. He just experienced a great deliverance, having delivered Lot and a whole bunch of folks from the hand of a wicked king who had taken them into captivity. And God blessed him. Not only with the victory, but God blessed him here with fellowship with our Savior. Look at Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. We see in the second set of verses that Abraham prepared a table of fellowship and hospitality himself. I believe that Abraham learned from the hospitality of the Lord. And we see here in Genesis 18, verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord prepared unto him in the plains of Mamre," and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, "and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." Now this is the Lord. This is a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ plus two other men. Okay? So you got these three. "When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree." You see the hospitality there. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant.' And they said, 'So do as thou hast said.' And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah, and said, 'Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth.' And Abraham ran into the herd, fetched a calf tender and young, gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter, milk, the calf which he had dressed, set it before them. He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." We see here Abraham prepared a table of fellowship and hospitality for the Lord. The Lord prepared a table for him first in Genesis 14. And here we see him preparing a table of fellowship and hospitality for the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus 25. We see that according to the instructions of the Lord on Mount Sinai, as Moses received the covenant of the law, Moses prepared a table of showbread, which pictured the fellowshipping with the Lord. Look at Exodus 25 and look at verse number 23. "So thou shalt make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold." Remember us saying this morning that the table speaks of service, the service of our Lord. And with it being overlaid with pure gold speaks of His deity. "Make thereto a crown of gold round about. Thou shalt make it unto a border of an hand breadth round about. Thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. Thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet. Over against the border shall the rings for the places for the staves to bear the table. Thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. Thou shalt make the dishes thereof, spoons thereof, covers thereof, bowls thereof, to cover withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them." And notice verse 30. "Thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always." Showbread. Look at Leviticus 24. Let's take a look at the showbread for just a moment. You've got this table that stood on the north side of the holy place, and it was made of shittim wood or acacia wood, is what it's also known as. It was overlaid with pure gold. It was 3 feet long, 1.5 feet wide, and 2¼ feet high. It had a golden crown or molding all around the outer edge to keep the loaves of bread safely on the table, to prevent them from falling upon the ground and becoming defiled. Look at Leviticus 24, verse number 5. Thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. Thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row, on the pure table before the Lord. Thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's got an incense dish sitting on top of the bread with its frankincense, offering incense. Verse 8, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. Being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. It shall be Aaron's and his sons. They shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him, and of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. So that the you have the bread there for a memorial. It had 12 loaves of showbread, a loaf for each of the 12 tribes, placed on the table in two rows. Showbread literally means bread of presence or bread of faces. It's called that because they were placed before the presence or the face of God in the sanctuary. And on top of each row, there was a golden dish with frankincense, which it says here was burned before the Lord as a memorial. Now the bread was to be changed each Sabbath, as we read there, and eaten by the priest in the holy place. And since Aaron and his sons were to eat it in the holy place, it's evident that this bread typified the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread. It was first presented as a sacrifice to or in the presence of Jehovah, and then becoming spiritual food to such as in and through him are the spiritual priests to God. Okay? So it was an offering first, and then it was to be consumed. So Moses prepared a table of showbread, picturing fellowship with the Lord. Look at Psalm 78. We're taking these in best I can in chronological order. Psalm 78. This refers back to the days of Moses. This is a psalm of Asaph, not one of David's psalms. That's not of any consequence. It's just a psalm of Asaph, who was one of the psalmists. Some people have the idea that David wrote all the Psalms, but he didn't. There's different authors. David wrote most of them, but this is one that the heading of it tells us that it's the Psalm of Asaph. Psalm 78, Asaph spoke of the table in the wilderness. Looking at the time that the children of Israel were one in the wilderness, and they were murmuring because they didn't have anything to eat. Notice verse number 17. It says, and they sinned yet more against him, against God, by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So Asaph here speaks of the table in the wilderness. Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. Anger also came up against Israel. Notice, because they believed not in God, trusted not in His salvation. Though He had commanded the clouds from above, and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Think about it. We know that God did prepare for Israel a table in the wilderness. That was their question. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I mean, they're out there in the wilderness saying, what in the world are we going to eat out here? Lack of faith in God. He provided both manna from heaven and water from the rock that was struck, both of which pointed to the coming Messiah. The manna, the bread from heaven, the water from the rock, and He was that rock that was stricken on our behalf. Look at John's Gospel, chapter number 6. Jesus, look at where Jesus speaks of this very time. John chapter number 6. John 6 and verse number 30. And here he's carrying on a conversation with some Jews. John 6 verse 30. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Basically, they were asking for a sign from Jesus. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's the manna. He's the water from the rock. Amen. Verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Look at verse 41. It says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Down to verse 47. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. It was just a picture. The manna in the wilderness was just a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Again, Jesus is speaking here of a table that was prepared in the wilderness that pictured the table prepared that we're about to prepare and take of. Read on, verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Now he wasn't talking about literally eating the flesh and literally drinking the blood. He's talking about you've got to have fellowship in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 56, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And we know that they were having a hard time receiving what he was saying. He was talking to them in pictures, and they weren't getting it. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter number 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 14. And we see here that Jesus spoke a parable about a table prepared. Luke 14, verse number 15. When there was somebody, he's here in a Pharisee's house eating. A Pharisee had invited him to his house on the Sabbath day to eat bread. And everybody's watching him real closely. And some guy sitting at the table trying to make conversation with Jesus. And notice there in verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he heard what Jesus was talking about, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And understand, his idea of eating bread in the kingdom of God, their idea was that the Messiah was going to set up the earthly kingdom, and them as Jews, they were going to be able to eat in the kingdom of God with the Messiah. And that is going to come a time when we're going to sit down at the table with Jesus. Okay. Notice what Jesus did. He told a story here in verse 16. Then he said, Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, bade many. Again, a prepared table. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I prayed he had me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I prayed he had me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, we see here that they were bidden, he invited beforehand. It talks about there, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And the implication is they were invited beforehand. There's a little difficulty in understanding this parable. The man who made the supper is without doubt designed to represent God. Supper, the provisions which he has made for the salvation of people, and the invitation, the offers which he made to people, particularly to the Jews of salvation. And the Jews, they didn't want to come to the supper, by and large. So Jesus spoke a parable about a table prepared. Next, I want you to see a table was prepared for Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. We know that John 11 is the resurrection chapter of where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, in celebration of Lazarus being raised from the dead and Mary and Martha's appreciation to Jesus for that event, we notice there in verse 1 and 2 that says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. The supper was made for Jesus. And Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Very obviously, this was a table of fellowship with one who Jesus loved very much, with women prepared by women who loved the Lord and made an appreciation for Him. Next we see in Matthew chapter 26. Look at Matthew chapter 26. We're going to draw all this together here in just a minute. Matthew 26, we see a table was prepared at Jesus' request. Matthew 26 in verse number 17. Matthew 26, verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? He said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. So we see a table prepared. And when even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Son of man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood, for the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now again, it was not literally his body. It was not literally his blood. It was representative of that. His body was going to be broken, and his blood was going to be poured out. Verse 29, Jesus said, But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So here we see what Jesus was talking about there in John 6 that we were talking about when He said, I am the bread of life. His body was about to be given that we might have life. When He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forevermore. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, he was not saying partaking of the Lord's table is going to bring you salvation. That's not what he was saying either. Again, it's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. Luke 22. In verse number 13. Luke's account of what we just read there in Matthew 26. An additional detail. Look there, Luke 22, verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, he sat down, and 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In other words, there's going to be a preparation in the future that we will sit down with Him. We eat of the table. And we are reminded of Him. But we're going to sit down with Him one day at a table He's prepared. Verse 17, He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them and said, this is my body which is given you. This do in remembrance of me. It's a memorial. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying that this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. And finally, it turned to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we see Paul's admonition to the Corinthian church regarding the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Again, it's a remembrance. It's a memorial. Memorials are for remembering. Talks about remembrance of me, both with regard to the bread and the body and the cup representing the blood. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we see a table was prepared in remembrance or as a memorial. And that's what we celebrate tonight. And every time that we partake of the Lord's table, it's a table of remembrance. It's a table that's a memorial, looking back at what Christ has done and looking forward to the time when we will sit with Him in the kingdom and partake with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. His broken body was prepared for us. His shed blood was prepared for us. It's a table prepared. Amen. Table prepared. God's prepared a table for us. Question is, have you been a partaker of God's table? The broken body and shed blood. So you can have no fellowship with God apart from partaking of the table that He's prepared for you. I'm glad God's prepared a table for us, aren't you? That we might have fellowship with Him. Like I said, apart from Him preparing the table for us, there was no possibility of fellowship. But we can have fellowship. We can have fellowship one with another. We can have fellowship with Him. All because of what He's done for us. At this time, we'll take some time to examine ourselves. As it says there, as we just read, let a man examine himself there in verse 28. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We are to examine ourselves before the Lord. And then we're to come to the table of fellowship and the table of remembrance. And we're to eat. A lot of times I don't even announce that we're going to have the Lord's table, because a lot of folks will avoid coming to the Lord's table. That's sad, because it's for us. It's for us. And we ought to want to fellowship with Him at His table. We ought to want to do this in remembrance of Him. Let's take some time and pray and in silence for a little bit, and then I'll come back and pray.